Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Today, Michael and I have a call that we have to make, and I'm not able to go to the gym as I normally go with Helen.
The other five families?
Not the other five families, no. So Helen said, why don't you come to my exercise class on Sunday morning at 9? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, you're going to have young people there. And said, no, there'll be a couple of old people, not just young people. And I said, well, what is the name of the class? And she said,
still alive?
Super Fit. And I went, I can't.
Better than rocking to the oldies.
I can't go to Super Fit.
Jazzercise.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, we're back. Is my microphone working?
It is.
Yeah. So, does somebody
turn your headphones up? Maybe.
Yeah. Somebody sits at this chair when I'm not here, and I don't like that.
It's Goldilocks.
Yeah. Well, I would. I'd poison them if I had the opportunity. Yeah. We're back. I probably should have made a bigger deal about the fact that we would be back on Thursday after missing Tuesday and Wednesday, but we're back, and we're back tomorrow on Friday. Gary Braun is here. Chris Saliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel's going to run the board and do the news. We're pretty much guest loaded today. Allegedly, Carville's going to be on the show, which we never believe. Chuck Todd will be on the show because he had a big week. He was 5-2. Jason LaConfora will be on the show. So I'm going to use this opening segment to talk about something that happened last night. But first, I want to thank a bunch of people.
A lot of goodies
today. We're in the Christmas gift season. It's always appreciated, but it's always not necessary as well. Michael Kinslinger of Baltimore, Bill Horner of Columbia, Missouri. They sent us Catch Me If You Can, which is a very good movie, and The Great Escape, which is a very, very good movie.
Oh, it's great movies.
So if people want those movies, they can have them.
Great restaurant.
I have some presents for the dog here. Steve Duhamel says, I'm a longtime Little living in spring training home of your Washington Nationals, West Palm Beach. My claim to fame is I once called you with a review of the movie Pearl Harbor, in which I compared the Japanese Navy to the iceberg in Titanic, which made you laugh. Along with the woman I'm related to by marriage, we're happy to announce the birth of our twin boys, John Joseph Duhamel and Jacob Lawrence Duhamel. I hope I pronounce that correctly, October 16th. I attempted to notify you of this life event last month, but apparently Nigel thought it not important for you to read on the air.
Nigel, Iron Curtain.
Wow.
Oh, look at how angry he is.
Also,
he's already off to a bad day.
He's simmering.
Be funny.
Simmering.
How about that? Write a better note. How about that?
Also, I have included toys for your dog, Chessie, as a bribe. Our Labrador loves them, and since they have no stuffing, it creates less mess and keeps her vomit-free of toy innards. So we have that.
Wait,
can I
ask a question? He said he called in?
That's the dog toy.
I don't remember.
You took calls?
Remember that time I made a joke and you laughed? This was like 22 years ago on the radio station.
Remember, I was that guy.
Like Vincent Bauer or Vincent Barber.
Congrats
it's
on the
hard
twins.
To read this. As a longtime person of your print radio internet show and now the pod, thought the enclosed would be a fitting tribute or at least an addition to the prize closet. After all, chimps grow up to be monkeys, don't they? Mm. And do they enjoy cookies from birds of savannah? Yes, they do. Thanks for the entertainment. So we have some cookies here. I've already given some out to some people who are here today.
Can I just say, speaking of cookies?
What? Claire Natola's cookies.
They were so delicious.
Claire Natola gave us really good shortbread cookies. I guess they were shortbread, right? They vanished in my house.
I ate them all before I got to the car from the walk
Yeah, they were good.
Charlie Burtz in Springfield, Virginia sent us Argo starch. And what happened to it, Nigel?
Unfortunately,
it's the Argo joke, but
yes,
broke in half.
Unfortunately, the box of starch opened up in the shipping package. So
what a great day for you, Nigel.
So it was either that Jolene or
Wojcik in my car.
Yeah, good stuff.
Jolene Wojcik in Nebraska. Happy holidays. She's a long time little. Happy holidays to you and the gang. Thanks for all the out. Blah, 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 blah. I love hearing about DA's NBA travels, Michael's golf games, Gary's vacations, Nigel and Saliza lamenting over the Hoyas, Tori's Masters gifts, Liz's size, and Jeannie's common sense approach to almost everything. And sent a picture of their daughters, Taylor and Jessica, we get all these beautiful cards, you know, the sort of pictures of families and stuff like that, which is very nice. Michael sent one out this year, didn't you, Michael?
I did.
And she says, finally, Mr. Tony.
Must not have been on the list.
I guess I didn't get it.
It's a New Year's card, okay?
I'm so excited for you as you are about to celebrate your first Christmas with your grandson. The holidays will never be the same again. Mm. You can pretend you're an old crusty grandpa who's always crabby, but we know better. Little Bootsy will melt your heart. This is pictures of that.
Are
and
they?
The dog, the dog is Dolly. Then we have Merry Christmas from the Connor family. Then we have from Dennis sends us something from Pau Pau, New Guinea.
Oh.
Natives in native dress.
I have a client threatening to send me there.
Really?
I have to check him out.
Don't go, Gary. The Heron family
don't do
sends
it, Tony.
Us stuff. And the birth of Penelope Rose Hopkins.
Adorable.
On September 7th, a little bit younger than Bootsy. Also, we've got
is that
her
money
already rolling
well,
over.
We've got,
though,
what are these out. Things?
Significantly got, younger.
Do we have gift cards? Did the, we get?
These, oh, go ahead and,
these are
Starbucks.
Looks
oh,
like
go
these
ahead
are Starbucks up. Gift cards. More when than it, a gift card, actually.
You well, can I'll load it into some, my app.
It's like a rewards yeah. card for
so
Starbucks.
So we've got $2, $5, $2, and $5. So we've wow. got a total of $14.
Well, by your
in
math.
Gift cards, by my math, then we could give it. Who could we get? Who should we get?
right oh, here.
Chris
well,
White.
Well, Saliza lives on Starbucks, but I think that would be a right. really good, that would be like a grand prize for the audience if those things went
so we
out.
Could
that's
do that.
Can, I,
all
can I ask Michael a question?
Yeah, sure.
When you did your New Year's card that we may or may not receive, is your...
No, you're not going to get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
is your
not.
Child
let's clarify
like
that.
Prominently featured? Like, is are there pictures of you and Liz?
Yes, but to be
and
fair,
there's a picture of
baby
a friend
boy
of mine
Bootsy
on a horse.
Is almost 6 months, so the card is almost entirely photos of him.
Yeah, it's an introduction it's a, to Bootsy for
it's
many.
It's a four-frame shot. He's the far left frame, and then we have an ISO shot of mother and father with the kid, because we're never together with him.
Okay, so that's interesting, because when we did our Christmas card,
as a rule.
Every
yeah.
year...
Did you get it professionally well, photographed?
I mean, obviously. Every yeah. year, I want there to be like a pretty large-size photo of myself.
Right.
Alone.
Just a head
on a horse. On a horse
yeah,
in the front.
Like, you know, like
and then you turn
horse.
Inside and the pictures of your children.
Like right. turn in more for yeah, because I mean like I figure readership,
me.
You know, we want to drive eyeballs to this. An
right.
8.5 by 11 glossy signed of
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
And Gia is always like, it's not about us. And I'm like, what?
No, it's
says
not about
who?
Us. It's about you.
Chris's career
well,
continued
what,
to proceed apace.
What
like
you
a big essay.
You should still frame a shot of you on the CNN set and circle that far, far, far left corner where you're sitting
yeah.
among the 10 people with an arrow.
Yeah, well, I'm not technically on camera
no, you're,
during
you're
that.
You're behind camera. Exactly.
Don't you have that?
Keep more to the left, more. No, you're still in the shot. More.
Don't you have that great photo of you with your shirt off trying to bend a frying pan?
Oh, yeah. That's every year.
Tearing up the phone book. I remember that year.
So I go to New York on Tuesday, and I come back yesterday, and everything. I mean, I'm sick. I'm actually ill. I'm some sort of stomach flu. But in any case, I go, and I had agreed. Maureen had asked me. Maureen is involved with the Washington Ballet. And she had asked me, would I be in the Nutcracker? And I, for years,
cracking
I just
nuts.
Said, no, I don't want to be in the Nutcracker. And I finally agreed to be in the Nutcracker. And so I did this last night. So I'm in this. So I have to explain what happens. First of all, I am the ambassador. I mean, that's just a title. If people don't know what the Nutcracker is, a ballet. And for people that don't understand what ballet is and count me among them, there's no singing. There's no talking. It's just people dancing.
Mm-hmm.
This gets old quickly. For me, I mean, really, enough.
There's no dialogue?
No. No, it's
no,
just...
No, she's just dancing
no.
around with the damn Nutcracker.
Dancing
it's
set to
dancing.
Music.
It's yeah. a dancing, and the dancing is supposed to be expressive, and it's a Tchaikovsky ballet, and so because it's Tchaikovsky, it's...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's great.
So would I know what was happening if I went? Would I understand the story?
Well, I didn't.
Or I mean, would I think might. It's about Tony coming out on stage dressed like an ambassador?
Yeah.
I think that,
is that the ambassador?
It's a lot of kids... A lot of kids dance, and they're great. And by the way, I should say this. For people that don't think dancers are athletic,
oh
you people
God.
Are crazy.
Yeah, super fit.
Unbelievable.
You people are crazy. LeBron James cannot do with his body what these dancers can do. They
right, now,
stand.
In fairness, the dancers can't do what he can do either.
But okay,
but
they
it's
are
different
great
athleticism. Yeah.
So remember like when Herschel Walker did
yes,
Walker,
he did ballet.
He did the whole ballet thing, and it was like really difficult for him. And
when,
he has a great athlete.
When you think of
when
people,
Emmett Smith, one
who are the greatest
the
ballet dancers of all time?
Baryshnikov.
Okay.
Boom, that's the list.
Baryshnikov jumped like 10 feet in the air.
Right.
Like, he didn't go 4 feet up in the air. He went 10 feet
right.
up in the air repeatedly, landed on his toes. You would break every tendon in your legs if you did this. When they warm up, this is some... You can't watch it. You cannot watch it. They stand, they have a hand on a bar, and the next thing you know, they are taking their legs and pulling their legs over their heads.
No, thank you.
You try that at home. Are you people, you think, oh, I can dunk. Try pulling your leg over your head and standing there, I don't know, for an hour.
Immediately.
And then starting to bend.
Call 911 before doing that.
You can't do it. So I don't want to hear, ballet dancers. I don't want to hear this.
No,
and by the way, they land on their toes.
Right.
They don't, you know, they
mentioned
don't,
that.
Yeah, so it's really hard. Anyway, so I'm there and
so they don't have you do all that.
No, I didn't.
You're
know,
just walking
I
out.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, what a shot. And then you're off?
I didn't say no. It's a ballet. You don't talk.
Well,
I didn't get to
you're
say
not supposed to
anything.
Talk, but I've never known you to not talk.
I didn't.
So.
And plus the light, when you're on the stage, you can't even see the audience.
It's blinding.
It's,
that
I mean,
way.
It's blinding.
You could say you're blinded by the light.
I could have sung that.
Yeah. So tell me about what you do specifically.
Well, I was getting to that,
all
but
right,
I'm being interrupted.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions.
Being interrupted constantly. So I'm, you
has
know,
my job
I'm
description
a guest.
Changed?
I'm
I
a
that's...
guest star, and another a woman who it turns out is a dermatologist. And her name is either Merla or Morel or something like that.
So you have to play an ambassador. She gets to play a dermatologist?
No, she is a dermatologist.
Oh, okay.
She's playing the Merry Widow.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh. Okay, so we need to be instructed in what our specifics of the performance are supposed to be. And they say, how do you want me to introduce you? A guy says that to me. I say, it's Tony Kornheiser. Well, she wants to be introduced as the dermatologist of this dermatological group. I thought, okay, okay.
All right, make
you know,
that Doctor of Humane
that.
Letters, Tony Kornheiser.
No, I should have said, and the podcast is live at Chatter,
exactly.
And I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Anyway, so we are now being instructed by the ballet master, a woman who's going to tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. And it's pretty simple. We're only on, or I'm only on, in the first scene, which lasts about 20 minutes. And as I said before, it's dancing.
And
a lot of
they
kids.
Intro you as you're walking out?
No, beforehand.
Oh, okay.
And playing the role of the ambassador tonight
got it,
is Tony Kornheiser. And playing the role of the Merry Widow is the CEO and head dermatologist of this particular
three
group.
For two mole removals.
And, you know, and I'm back there. Well, she knows my friend Bud Giblin. She liked Bud, so all I was right. happy about that. And I'm backstage, and people want to take pictures, although you'd be surprised how few ballet dancers know who I am.
I don't know that I would be
We're
surprised
not running
by that.
In that circle. Anyway, so the ballet master, and I would have called her the ballet mistress, but that is in the days before we didn't have identity anymore and everybody is exactly the same. She was herself clearly a dancer because when she's telling me how to move and what to do, just her gestures alone indicate she was
she's
a
graceful.
Dancer
yeah.
beyond graceful, way beyond graceful. So essentially what I have to do is this. I, as you face the stage, I enter from the right side of the stage. First, the military family comes out, they look around, they take a right turn between, you know, into the set, so they get into the main set and okay. they're not in the front of the stage anymore. I'm told after the military family comes out, I come out, I make some grand gesture to show you, oh, it's a party, and look at this, and I'm very, very impressed. And then I walk to the middle of the stage where the Frederick Douglass character... Don't ask. I don't know.
Done some great things.
The Frederick Douglass character comes out to meet me. We shake hands, and the Merry Widow is behind me, and she goes through this thing where she's dabbing her eyes with a hanky, and then in a coquettish manner lets the hanky drop, and I am supposed to turn, pick up the hanky, give it to her, lead her into the middle of the stage, and then basically disappear into a side while kids dance.
It's a lot of action
That's
for no
job.
Rehearsal, though.
That's my job.
When is
how can you have a question?
When is your monologue?
There is no monologue. It's dancing.
Is this when you're center stage?
So, but you're not going to be on stage until you're doing it.
That's exactly right.
Okay, I mean that's a lot of blocking.
But I get this.
Okay,
I understand this. This doesn't seem that hard to me. I make a right. I make a gesture.
Pick up
I
a
shake
tissue,
somebody's
I'm
hand. I pick up a handkerchief. I lead her out, and then we go, and we are part of the party.
All right.
Well, she's never been on stage before.
No.
So she needed, you
amateur
know,
hour.
We needed to talk about it more than once and more than twice and more than three times. And she's also wearing a long dress that I keep stepping on. Mm. This is a it's
what
are,
did
tragic.
You go black tie? That was what was
no,
recommended?
No. They gave me a top hat and they gave me
okay.
no. I wear a regular suit.
Oh, okay.
They gave me a sash or something like that. So now I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm a little bit nervous, and everybody's saying you're going to be great. You're going to be great. And what I want to say is. Why do you think that?
What would give
first
you
of
that
all,
impression?
All I'm doing, I'm not, my part is limited. And then I have to pretend at the next part in the show that I'm interested in this party and I'm interested in dance. Is that pictures?
Yeah, we're passing around you the shot do, of you as the ambassador.
Extremely ambassadorial.
You put the ass in ambassador.
Yes. I can't believe that based on that, I am not sent to a Baltic country this afternoon.
I would agree.
I don't understand that.
Donald Trump on line one, Tom.
Is with the sash.
So we.
It's very dashing.
Yeah, no, that's the overcoat. I have the sash on underneath. Right. So
she got a real costume, it looks like. Or is
she's
that her
the
dress?
Merry Widow.
Is that her?
No, that's a costume.
Well, what? Okay.
I have a costume. She has a costume. It's a costume. It's a
you
ballet.
You just got a schmata and a hat.
It's a ballet from the 1800s.
Okay, go ahead.
People
Fine.
Wore costumes then.
Hmm.
All right, so it happens. So the military family walks out. I know I'm supposed to walk
Ooh,
out next.
Your spouse.
I make the grand gesture. No. She follows me. She's not my spouse. She's the Merry Widow.
I said
widow.
Hit me your spots.
Oh, okay. I'm hitting my spots. I thought you said with my spouse.
No.
So Frederick Douglass' character comes from the other side. We shake hands. I'd never seen him before, but he's a kid. They're all kids. They're all in their
20s. Yeah. Well,
except
athletes.
For the ones that are really like kids, like 7 and 8 and
right.
9. The Merry Widow comes out. She drops the handkerchief. Boom! Frederick Douglass runs and picks it up.
Son of a
whoa, wait. Whoa, we didn't rehearse that. Scene stealer.
Unbelievable.
What are you doing? I wanted to knock this guy out.
You should have.
This is
now he, that would have been a performance.
Is he an extra as well?
He's a dancer. How dare he? Huh. How dare he? This is the only
the
thing
gall.
I do.
Wow.
I've rehearsed this. I've
well,
got
in
it.
Your mind.
I think this
I've
is a plan to try and get raw emotion out of you on stage.
He's about 5. I would have knocked him out if I could have.
You were seething.
I was That's really funny. Angry. And I carried this anger with me for the remaining 15 minutes that I'm on stage. And
Good.
All I really want to do, I'm devising vengeful things I
just
can do to this kid.
While the kids are dancing,
I want to trip him.
You just go over and punch him in the face.
I mean, that was my
Why is the ambassador trying to kill Frederick Douglass?
That was my moment. I didn't have it. And I'm on stage, and then I have to get off stage, cross underneath the stage, come back out, shake a couple of hands, go through a receiving line, and just stand there then for like 15 minutes while a whole bunch of kids dance, and the Nutcracker plot unfolds, whatever the plot is.
Yeah.
I don't really...
Nutcracker.
I don't really understand it, and all I'm thinking about two things now. One, get me out of here, okay, because I'm done with this thing. And two, how dare this guy... And that's my...
I don't
that's
understand.
That's my only job.
Listen,
Am I being too petty? I would understand.
Absolutely not.
I would understand more if it were a fellow extra who maybe jumped the gun or misunderstood the instructions.
No,
but this is someone
company.
Who has a role, so they know their role, and they know that's not part of it. Maybe he just decided,
Stay
you know what, this guy...
in your lane.
This geezer
okay?
ambassador isn't going to do what he's supposed to do, and I gotta pick up after.
I practiced bending down.
Wow.
I knew how to pick up the
Maybe he was afraid you'd break a hip
And he rushed over... And pick
what
up
did
the,
you do? Because aren't you supposed to then walk the Merry Widow out?
No, he disappeared into the crowd at that point.
No, I walk across the stage and I stand on when you face the stage, sort of left side, and I enjoy
stage
the
left.
Dancing. But I'm visible the whole time. But
visibly angry.
Well, I'm just thinking, what? Why are you doing this?
Did you broach it afterward?
No, he's like 22. No, I didn't broach
all
it.
All the more reason.
I'm doing.
You know
I'm
who
broaching
I am?
It now. We're in full broach.
Yeah, Tony's like, I'm not going to broach that. What am I, a tiny
what
person?
What would you have done?
I'm bringing it up now.
What would you have done?
There's no good way to handle this. I think you handled it.
I didn't do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a good way to handle it. You punch him right in the face.
No.
But you show him who's boss.
I'm so happy to hear this story. I have a smile on my face for the first time in 2 days. Thank you for this gift.
It's really quite good.
It's a great
better
story.
Better than him
and
doing it as you seething.
Yeah,
that's
nobody yelled out
part.
The cheesery, and I didn't do what I really wanted to do, which at some point just walk to the front and do one of these, put my arms
Ta-da.
And say, hey, say hi to
I'm
me.
Here.
I didn't do it, but I just got in Maureen's car and I went home. I just went
it was nice of you to do that.
I thought it was nice. And as a result, the people who went, they get a free.
I mean, let me say the list
something.
Of things you have done in your life.
I'm like the Salvation Army of people
I mean,
in
you've
Washington.
You've spoken at the Kensen. Right? You've been in a ballet.
Been in a ballet. Didn't dance.
You've received an honorary doctorate.
Didn't ask me to wear tights.
Yeah,
now, if it was
God.
PTI,
next year.
I'd have worn the tights.
Yeah.
But not, you know.
They'd
not,
have demanded.
Not for strangers. I don't even And you said you're blinded by I don't even know how many. There could have been 3 people in the audience.
Did this
not.
Guy assume
But I get 4 tickets. So if anybody wants to go, and not all of the listeners, if anybody's sitting here, like I think Bootsy's too young for the ballet is my guess.
Probably.
But I can get 4 to a Nutcracker performance if somebody wants them.
All All right. Well, hands are going up in the dining room. Not really.
Not really at all. All right, so we'll take a break, and when we come back, what do we got? Jason Lockenfora?
That's right.
CBS Sports. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Let's do a read here. Let's do the Omaha Steaks read, okay? Omaha Steaks will give you, well, they won't give you, they'll charge you $49.99, but you get a family gift pack when you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter the code TonyK in the search bar, and it's 75% off the regular price. If you don't have an idea what to give to somebody for Christmas, you're coming in under 50 bucks on this, and let me just tell you what you get for under 50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, a package of Omaha Steaks seasoning, and an additional four kielbasa sausages for free. And they want you to think that it's an exclusive savings just for listeners of this podcast. No, I mean, they're doing this with a lot of different podcasts, I'm sure. But if you're listening now, it's an exclusive savings for you. Go to omahasteaks.com. Everybody here, right, Gary and Chris, Michael,
it's a lot of food. It's good food.
It's good. This is a good gift. This is a good one. Go to omahasteaks.com. Enter the code TonyK in the search bar. Get a 75% saving. It's the gift that's guaranteed to be a hit.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This music is sent to us by TJ Sofera.
That's right.
Sofera.
We think that's how it's pronounced.
It's being played by Jason Lee Ashby. Yes, Jason Lee Ashby.
That's right.
And it's called Moonlight and Gin. And they are good friends. Jason is a somewhat of a local celebrity in Wilmington, North Carolina, but hails from D.C., still a diehard Redskin fan. Strangely enough, the nephew of one of the original Hoggettes. Wow.
How about that?
More importantly, TJ writes, if you play his song, he owes me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Oh, well.
So,
collect.
And he said, and if I only sent you Jason's music, that would be enough. But no, I have more. The woman related to me, excuse me, by marriage, sent me the picture of her odometer yesterday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Nice.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Fantastic. Jason Lockenfora, CBS Sports. I've been sick for a couple of days, so please excuse me coughing and wheezing, Jason. Jason,
all good, Tone.
Jason joins
I know
us
the feeling.
Yeah, Jason joins us
Jason,
now.
Jason, congrats on Cooper's Twitter account. Not every guy's dog gets a Twitter account. It was impressive.
Yeah, actually, we've got our intern at my podcast is now...
You have a podcast?
Be
more opinionated podcast, hon.
He's got to find out which one of your listeners, Tone, created that Twitter account for Copper the dog. We got to figure that one out and crack the code, hon.
That's great. It makes me laugh.
Just laugh every time.
All right, let's start with some NFL stuff because that's what you're here for because that's your job. Aaron Rodgers is going to play, apparently, at Carolina, a game that even Aaron Rodgers, totally healthy, would have trouble winning because Carolina's good.
Yeah.
I'll give you the question that Wilbon and I got yesterday on PTI. If you ran the league, would you be more excited or more worried because another injury would really hurt the season?
I mean, he's one of the faces of the league. He's a perennial MVP candidate. He's, you know, he may go down as the greatest quarterback ever when this all said and done. And in a year in which so many sort of quintessential players have gone down and they're not coming back, I think there has to be a level of excitement that we're going to see Aaron Rodgers and not Brett Hundley play in this playoff preview game. And if you watched much of their offense, or really any of their offense with Brett Hundley, boy, you know, they beat the Browns last week, but really they just decided we're just going to play Australian rules football and we're just going to, you know, have the quarterback run it. And we're, you know, we're hope Kaiser screws it up and maybe we can steal this game because, you know, we don't have a real offense. And that all happened and it worked, but that's not fun for anybody to watch. And that's not how they're going to have any sort of real success.
It's a very – they have to win them all in the NFC. You got to go 10-6 or you're not going to get in. They're at Carolina, Minnesota at home, at Detroit. Even even the Packers at the beginning of the year with everybody healthy, that's trouble. It's trouble sweeping those three teams. What do you think will happen, Jason?
I don't think they'll sweep them.
Nor do I.
I think Aaron Rodgers will play really well. But I don't know that he's going to ride in on his white horse and lead them to the promised land, you know, single-handedly. I still have questions about their defense. I think the Rodgers injury really exposed how many holes he covers up, and that, I guess there's a lot of Swiss cheese up there in Packerland. You want to, pretty lame pun there, Tone. I don't know.
No, I thought it was all right.
Had to go cheese-related there with the Packers. But he's covering up a lot of holes. And I don't, look, it's going to look a lot better. They're going to be able to have more quick strikes. They're going to be able to have more explosive plays. They're going to get more people unlocked in the passing game and the downfield, the deep passing game especially. But, the defense isn't that great. And it's a new running back every week, and sometimes they run the ball effectively, but it's no one that they can necessarily bank on, and they've had some injuries to the offensive line. So that's a gauntlet of games, as you say.
Yes, it is.
They slip up once, and it's over, but I still understand the doctors cleared Rodgers, and he was throwing. I talked when they played the Steelers a few weeks back. There were people like, you should see how this dude's throwing the ball pregame. And these are football people. These are people who've seen guys come back from injuries and know what, busted collarbones are like. And they're like, this guy looks like he could play right now if he had to. And then I think the 8 weeks on IR, because that's what, he can't come back designated to return for at least 8 weeks. I think had he not been IR designated to return, he'd have been pushing to come back even sooner. So you got to, the doctors say, it's okay and everything's on the line and he's a super competitor. So I think you have to let it rip.
Yeah, the only thing I worry about is that it's a Tony Romo situation.
Well,
the dude
falls
on it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And the next time you see him, he's in a booth where, by the way, he will be great, as you know. Aaron Rodgers will be great.
Yeah, no, he would be. He would be. Obviously, everyone hopes that's not the case. And I guess Tony was a little older when
yes.
this started
yep.
happening for him. Boy, yeah, that would suck.
All right, let me move on. I'm sure you've read the Larry Johnson story that was in the Post yesterday.
Yeah.
But for people who haven't, Larry Johnson was a running back, consequential running back for a few years in the league. He believes he has CTE. He says that a couple of years in the league, he doesn't remember anything. He's been violent. He has been violent before. He's been arrested 6 times, 5 of them for violence, particularly against women. That is the essence of the story. To my knowledge, there is not yet a CTE revealing test for living people.
Right.
So we don't really know. He names Aaron Hernandez and says he feels like a kindred spirit with Aaron Hernandez. And Jason, that's to me a really important thing because Aaron Hernandez murdered at least one person and then killed himself. What is the league reaction to this, if there is any? What should we be trying to get Larry Johnson off the streets? I mean, it just seems like a recipe for a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you hope that, the league or, through the league's insurance or through, some of the outreach that the NFLPA does and player assistance, they have something called the trust, which is, supposed to be sort of a comprehensive and holistic approach to transitioning guys out of the NFL and helping them with the rest of their lives. You would think that everybody involved with those sort of organizations are reaching out to him and trying to ensure that he's getting the best cognitive care as possible and, that he's meeting with neurologists and they're taking scans and they're doing whatever they can. To your point about CTE, in real time, it's not there yet. People are hoping that's where the science
that's
is going.
Right. They're trying.
And I think the NFL's outward response would be, hey, we're funding a lot of these studies, and we're spending a lot of money, at Boston University and some of these various other institutions. Now, I know there's also been some of these schools and hospitals that have come out and said, well, wait a minute, this isn't going exactly how we thought it was going to go. And there's been plenty of reporting, especially in the New York Times, about, some of those differences. But, there's certain things that are bigger than football that transcend any sports league, even one that's a global behemoth like this. And there are issues that are out of their control. And one of them is where the science and the medicine is going with this. I can tell you that they know, they're very aware of the threats that, that this poses, and the fact that every time you, there's a story like this that comes out, or there's an Aaron Hernandez, or there's even an incident like the Ryan Shazier play from Monday night a week back, where that, you know, wasn't a gladiator, someone launching themselves using their helmet as a weapon and spearing somebody in the head. You know, that was a what seemed to be a routine football play.
Absolutely.
That now still has that young man in the hospital with concerns about his spine. You know, they understand that, that cuts to the core of sort of the parent-child covenant of whether we're going to let them play this sport or not, and at what point and at what level, and is it just flag football and all that. And, you know, Dr. Sills, who is their chief medical officer, is in constant contact, I'm told, with Shazier's surgeons, with the Steelers medical team. They're watching that incredibly closely as well, because they know, you know, that for a lot of people, that's going to stick with them, and they're going to say, well, wait a minute, Ryan Shazier is in the greatest shape in the world, one of the best of the world. You know, he's doing a routine football thing.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I caught your cold, Tone.
It's
and
good.
Look what happened to him. So
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, these are things that
I will tell you, I think CTE changes everything. I think the sort of discovery and the recognition of it, I think it changes everything in terms of attitudes as to whether or not we play.
Particularly,
football or
Tone,
not.
If they can, you know, as you mentioned, there have been some preliminary. If they can do a test on living brains and say you're developing.
And the other part of that is that we're all horrified by CTE, but we don't know because nobody tests just regular people when they die. Did they have it? And we don't know. This is a new frontier for us. I'll just get back to football for a second. The two very consequential games, the Chiefs and the Chargers, is tomorrow night, I believe. And the big one is the Steelers and the Patriots. In the Monday night loss to Miami, Jason, did that foretell anything about Patriots for you going into Pittsburgh?
It put Tom Brady's lingering Achilles sort of issue that I didn't pay much attention to, because this time of year, you know, he's always going to miss some practice, and they're going to list something on the injury report, and you're going to kind of say, well, boy, I wonder if that's even what's really going on here.
Right.
But I get it. You know, they're resting him, whatever. He did not look right. And there's been numerous seasons I can think of where you get to the end and he wins a Super Bowl or he loses a Super Bowl, you know, and then you find out that, oh, that shoulder was really whacked all year. Or that, you know what I mean? Oh, he was dealing with his knee was worse than we all thought. So, you know, that sort of raised my a few red flags in that regard. Not that, like, it's something where it's going to pop any second and he shouldn't have been out there, because he wouldn't have been out there if that's the case. But that didn't look right. It told me one other thing, too, that some scouts reinforced after the game. They can win it all without Gronk. We've seen them do that. And they can win it all without Edelman. But without Gronk and Edelman, they're susceptible to losing to anyone as well, and especially when you get them on the third-string right tackle, and it's a week where Brady's been on the injury report and missed 3 days of practice. You know, that they're not, you know, transformational enough to overcome that. And defensively, they have Flowers, who's been an impact player for them and a pass rusher. And I know that he scoffed at this very notion because it's beneath him and he is Bill Belichick. But they may have been kind of looking forward to that Steelers game after all. You know, they may have had a little fun in the sun in South Beach, knowing that that game's ultimately going to be inconsequential for them, and knowing that they play the regular season AFC Championship game, you know, 6 days later on a short week again on the road.
100%. I mean, this game is for home field in the AFC. Who do you think wins?
I think the Patriots.
Really?
I do. Even with two straight on the road and it being a short week after playing that game, you know, at night on a Monday, I still do. I feel like they've got Pittsburgh's number. And the thing that scares me about Pittsburgh is you look at them without Hayden and without Shazier on defense, it's the same effect as the Patriots' offense without Edelman and Gronk, and they are getting Gronk back. They couldn't stop anybody. Alex Collins looked like the best running back on the planet. Joe Flacco hung 40 points on him on the
right.
road.
That's
hon,
right.
It ain't supposed to happen.
That's right.
I mean, that was a joke. They couldn't stop anybody. I mean,
Copper in the house.
Loves the Baltimore.
I got up for a second to do that. He thought I was going to put my shoes on and start going on our WALK. If I say that word, I'll really freak out.
No, he's ready. He's ready to go. So we'll get you out of here.
Yeah, I'm glad I caught myself. But, you know, Tone, that's a big problem. Like, they gave up over 400 yards to a Baltimore team that averages, you know, 4 yards an attempt. So what's that going to look like when Josh McDaniels sees that film and right. says, oh, wow, we could have had more here. We could have had more there. Like, geez, oh, whiz. So I don't know. I think it tends to be a high-scoring game, but watch it be 12-10. But if you made me pick, I'd pick the Pats.
All right. Plug your podcast for us, Jason.
We had one of your buddies on, Mark Feinsand from the winter meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Zone.
Yeah.
I asked him about the chatter at the hotel there at the winter meetings, and he stopped the pod and said, Chatter, that's my favorite restaurant.
That a boy,
out
Feinsand.
To Mr. Tony, go see him at Chatter. Swear to God, hon, you could hear it on a podcast. That's what he did.
Some Machado talk, probably,
yeah, Machado.
Right?
We talked about Machado, and please go back and listen to last week. We had Ray Rice on. I know I sound like an idiot right now, but it's a pretty good discussion. We're proud of that podcast product, Tone. BMOshow.com, or check us out on the iTunes.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Talk
Jason
to you next
Lee
week.
Conforto, boys and girls. There's the dog. There's
the
dog. We'll take a break. We will have news. James Carville allegedly will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel, why don't you talk about a made-to-measure suit and how it compares to just something generically off the rack?
It's the best-fitting suit I've ever had. It feels great when I put it on. I feel like James Bond, which is probably the only time I'll ever be able to say that. I love it. And once you put your measurements in there...
At least you don't feel like Gold Bond.
I don't feel like Gold Bond. Right. You feel great, and it's a great suit, and it's a great price. I've got a couple of them. I will probably buy another one this winter. I love them so much.
Indochino's making it easy to get a suit made to your exact measurements at a great price. You can choose from hundreds of top-quality fabrics, customize all the details, including your lapel, your jacket lining, monogram it, anything you want. Indochino's been featured in major publications, including GQ, Forbes, and Fast Company. It's now the largest made-to-measure menswear company. And here's how it works. You visit a showroom or you shop online at Indochino.com. You pick your fabric. You choose your customizations. You submit your measurements. You place your order. You wait for it to arrive in just a few weeks. You got to take your own measurements or have somebody do it.
Yeah,
if you just send them money, it's useless.
Yes.
They have to know what kind of suit they're making. And this week, listeners to this particular podcast can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when you enter Tony K at the checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. The shipping is also free. So $359 for anything in the catalog.
That's pretty sweet.
Indochino.com, promo code Tony K. Any premium suit for $359 and free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a suit that will fit you better than anything off the rack ever could.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Duff DeWitt in Yakima, Washington. He writes, first time, long time. This song called Christmas Is from an album my college roommate, Jesse Taylor, and I made 20 years ago while attending Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington. As is the story of all great moments in music history, the song was written in about 5 minutes after a quick discussion about why there aren't any new Christmas carols. Boom, a new Christmas carol. It's nice.
It is lovely.
Michael, when people send in music like this, which can be heard at the end of the podcast in its entirety, how do they do it to get it
You can
play?
Email your original music into the show, jingles at tonykornheiser.com, and we have 6 shows remaining until Christmas, so if you have some original
Christmas music,
holiday jingles, send
fine.
Those in.
That's fine. I didn't want to embarrass them before. They have now left the show. Dennis McDonough and Jeff Zients were here, and I didn't think I should just shout that
By
out.
The way, Dennis McDonough rocking a Georgetown. There we go.
Yeah.
Georgetown things are
jacket.
Happening.
Well, you're second. All right, James Carville joins us now. He missed last week, but he recouped last week because he had Army over Navy, and Army won that game because he was 0-4 from the previous week going in there. I'm not even going to discuss your record. I'm going to give you the opportunity.
He's 1-0.
Yeah, you're 1-0. That's all that matters. You're 1-0.
Let's hit the reset button, and let's start out firing this weekend. What's a really good matchup, I think, is the Rams go to Seattle.
Yes.
and Seattle's a 2.5-point favorite.
1.5 is what we've got. What do you tell me? Which way you're going?
I want Seattle.
You want Seattle?
I think Russell Wilson is going to get around. They're you know, going to run wide on them, and I just think he's great. And Jimmy Graham, I like Seattle.
All right. So if you like Seattle, we'll make it 1.5, and you don't have to give the extra
1.5
point.
1.5, make you laugh. All right. Then the Saints of 15 over the Jets.
That's a lot.
I think they're going to run wild on them. They've had a long week. They got beat up in Atlanta. Remember that game, the worst officiated game so far this year in the NFL. But I think they're going to run wild Sunday. So I'm going to take the Saints at home and lay the points.
This is so unlike you. It is so unlike you.
I don't know that I ever, 15? In a pro game, remember James laying two
you
touchdowns.
You never do this.
I know. I think the Saints are going to be prime. In the dome. Jets are bad. They've had a long week.
And they lost their quarterback.
James, do you know the status of Alvin Kamara? That's not a trick question. I do not. Is he still in protocol?
I hope he can play. But
yeah, because that offense looked a lot different when he went to the bench
without
on Thursday.
Without him. Yeah.
He's good. Really good.
I know anybody knew that guy was going to
He's
be
really good, and he makes Ingram better. He does.
And then there's an Oregon Boise State Las Vegas Bowl game.
Yes.
And I think Oregon's like a 7-point favorite.
What do you got, Gary? Boise State is ranked. Boise State's ranked. I'm surprised at that. That Oregon's 7.
You can continue, James. Well, I'll give you the best line I can find here.
I want Boise State. In a simple reason, when the coach leaves between the regular season and the bowl game,
yes,
that's not a good thing.
No. No, even when the kids want the new coach, he's not ready to be the coach again.
The Mirage is you can get 7.5.
All right, we got the Mirage.
Yeah.
All right, so Boise State plus 7.5.
That's my 3 for the week.
That's good.
The Seahawks, the Saints, and Boise State.
We want you to win. Do you know the nickname of Boise State?
The Broncos.
The Broncos. But they're not playing on that blue field. Right, where's this game? Vegas?
Sam Boyd Stadium in Vegas.
In Vegas.
Mm-hmm. I love those games lined that are played in Vegas. Yeah. It's always interesting to me.
You know, I think I'm going to go. My daughter, I think I'm going to Vegas on Sunday.
Well, have a good time. Have a good time.
I will.
Do you have a cold? Do you have a cold right now? You have a cold?
No, I don't. You know, I sound like I do. I just got it from talking to you because I caught your stomach ache in my throat.
All right, that's it. Get out of here. Thank you, James.
Bye.
James Carville, boys and girls. We have news, Nigel?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Nigel, just saying goodbye
yes,
to James.
Thank you.
Just
have to say goodbye to James.
Well, that's what you have to do. You have to say
goodbye. Yes, it looks like there was a little bit of a special.
By the way, the socialite working the crowd now. Socialite.
Always.
There he is, down there working the crowd, which is
it's
really
very
good.
Reminiscent of Humphrey Bogart and Casablanca, isn't it? Just sort of walking through the tables.
It's like Frank.
Absolutely.
And very much, Frank.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. I'm over in that banquette over there.
Alabama has a new senator, and his name is not Judge Roy Moore. It is, in fact, Doug Jones,
so
Democrat.
I will say that we were not on yesterday, and I was stunned, absolutely stunned at this. And I would say to Chris, who had a line that I was quoting all day in New York before the votes were in, which was, you could run a cactus as a Republican in Alabama and win. You thought as high as 55 or 56.
Yeah, I would say I stand by the fact that you could have run a cactus as the Republican and beaten Doug Jones.
Yeah.
Not because of Doug Jones, but because of the nature of the state. Trump won it by 28 points. Roy Moore, I still thought he would win despite the fact he has a long record of underperforming other Republicans in the state because he is so divisive. And obviously all the stuff that came out, he very narrowly lost. The stat that I think is most amazing, Doug Jones got 92% of Hillary Clinton's vote total in the state. Roy Moore got 49% of Donald Trump's vote total in the state. So, I mean, just a drastic Republican underperformance.
I'm going to speak for myself. I don't know for how many others. Good for the people of Alabama. Good for the ones who stayed away from the election. Good for the ones who said, you know what? No.
I thought that.
And I don't know Doug Jones, you know, from an ice cream sandwich. I don't know anything about him. I'm not even saying vote for him, but if you said I can't vote for the other guy.
The ranked partisanship that we have seen in the country, I thought would overcome
I agree.
What you would assume would have been debilitating allegations against Roy Moore, but
Yeah.
What I want to know from, is it John Merrill? Was he the Secretary of State down there? What I want to know, and I've not seen reported yet, is how many of the 22,000 some odd write-in votes were for Nick Saban? I'm not kidding. I mean, he had to get 500 votes, right?
No, I heard it was over 1,000.
Really?
Yeah, I heard he actually did quite well.
It was 1.3% or 1.4% of the vote was write-in.
Yeah, which was the margin, and, essentially.
Though my guess is, I mean, I'm not sure those people would have ever gone for Roy
You don't
Moore
think
anyway.
The majority of those write-ins were Republicans saying...
Yes, oh, absolutely.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So
this is my cactus as the Republican nominee theory.
Right, right.
If the cactus is the nominee, then there's the write-in vote is much smaller.
You know, I think you do know Doug Jones. He was a reliever in Major League Baseball from 1982 to 2003. Lifetime save. So congratulations to him on his new
second career.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Donald Trump had it. He was right.
Well, Trump said
knew it all along.
Trump said I won.
Yeah,
Trump
you said, think we're joking?
Trump
but
said,
we're not.
He said I won Alabama and I would have won Alabama again. Apparently, you know.
And he tweeted yesterday morning that said, "This is why I endorsed Luther Strange, who was Roy Moore's opponent
Big
in the primary.
I
was right.
Yes,
so, nailed that one. 100 out of 100. Yes. Perfect 10.
Awesome.
Go ahead."
Hail to the Red Hawks, fight for old D.C.
What is this story?
Apparently,
I was in New York and I heard about
this. Tremendous story.
Apparently, there was a fake website and fake Twitter accounts that looked very much like it was the Redskins' official stuff that said that they had bowed to political pressure and were going to change the name starting next year to the
Tony,
Red Hawks.
Tony, this announcement was replete with news, I'm putting this in parens, news stories, links to news stories from Bleacher Report, from ESPN, from the Washington Post, extremely elaborate stories that looked entirely authentic unless you were critically looking at like the URL links and stuff. My phone started blowing up with people. Oh my God, Red Hawks.
If you
and
live
the Redskins
here,
were relevant in the NFL playoff season for an hour.
If you live in Washington, D.C., and you follow that team, you know that the owner has basically said, over my dead body.
It's not
happening. He has said it's never going to happen. When they got that ruling from, was it the FTC?
It was a trademark association.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Like that?
Something
where patent and trademark office,
where it
right?
wasn't considered offensive.
Correct.
Yeah, he was like,
they said,
he's
going to
hang
it
on that forever.
So why? Well, I understand if you're not in this city, you would believe
and
that.
And that's,
but I didn't believe when I said what.
Yeah. I don't know that it got traction here.
Yeah,
I was getting texts from college friends and stuff who were out of market.
Okay. This was a group that is trying to bring the name change issue back into
the
forefront.
Well, good for them, but it's they're not going to convince
this. It was
this
an
owner.
Awesome hoax.
It really was.
I mean,
it was very elaborately done. And speaking of football, Roger Goodell says after 2024, that's it. He's going away.
Yeah, I mean, how many years in a row do you need 35, 40 million for to go
60,
away and stay?
Hopefully he's
saving. You know what? He'll be 65 years old, and if part of that deal is, as rumored, the free jet for life.
For life?
Well, of course you're going to do that.
Sure.
Of course you're going to do that, because he's going to have $300 million in the bank and a free jet. Okay.
If there was
Most of us don't get the free jet.
Right. Yeah. If there was one perk that you could have in a lifetime deal, what would it be?
Roger Goodell's contract.
I would take the free jets.
Yeah.
That's
good.
The best.
That is a pretty good deal.
Even if you don't like flying.
Yeah, who cares? Anytime you want to go?
Yeah.
Paul George returned to Indiana, but the people were not all that happy to see him, showered with them booze.
Because
he left.
Forced the trade, sure. Yeah. They should have
played terribly.
Let me say, he's never
hit a game-winning shot.
And I want to say this about that. And, Chris, I don't know if you watched the game
or
Tony, if you did. But near the end of that game, I guess they were
down
a point. And
couldn't pick up the handkerchief.
And
couldn't get
they had a possession.
Ballet slippers.
They had a possession down a point inside of a minute. I forget the exact particulars, but what I do not forget is that he appeared to want nothing.
No, he was like in the corner.
The ball.
Russell Westbrook took it.
There was no
he
effort
want
to get
it.
Anywhere.
Near
Russell
the
Westbrook
doesn't want was the it, ball.
Russell Westbrook put up a nice
three for 17
last night.
He's a great three-quarter player.
George,
yeah.
He was in the corner.
Yeah,
I mean, he was the...
He doesn't want. Can't hit. All right. Well.
John Wall is back, and he helped the Wizards beat the Grizzlies 93-87, 13 points on his return with 4 assists and just 1 rebound.
28 minutes.
Yeah.
The Wizards' box score was nice because they had 6 guys in double figures, all between 10 and 18. That's good.
Ugly
That's
game, good. But a win.
It's fine.
Yes.
Yeah. What happened to the Grizzlies?
They are not. Well, Mike Conley's hurt.
They used to be good.
But
they were
they're
a
not
playoff team. They fired. They're the first team to fire a coach this year.
They still have Marc Gasol, who's good, which really I assume they would look to trade him because they are not good. Mike Conley is hurt.
He's good.
Tony
too.
Allen's not there anymore. I mean, they're just you okay. know. Plus, I think the NBA, the style
Rudy
they
Gay
played
is not there.
No, the style they played is sort of the NBA is sort of passed by right. too.
And it looks as if the Lakers had a little bit of a conversation with LeVar Ball and said, could you just tone it down just a little bit?
Well, LeVar, you cannot.
I'm sure he'll respond well to that.
You cannot negotiate no. with LeVar Ball.
You no. are a hater.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
You don't do it. You don't do it. Yeah. They totally bowed down to him in this. They're soliciting his goodwill. Are you people crazy? He just pulled his 16-year-old kid out of high school and sent him to Lithuania
yes,
to play basketball and open up, I'm sure, a couple of big baller brand outlets.
But
or
like in
like
a
that.
Town of 10,000 people, it's not even like the high-end Lithuania basketball.
You cannot you just ignore him to the best of your ability, or you know what? Trade his kid. Because if you think he wants to coach the team.
Yes, he does.
That's his aim, to be named the head coach of the Lakers. Wow. And what you're doing, this is appeasement like in World War II. This is insane. Right?
Yeah, you know,
insane.
I mean, the idea that LeVar Ball's going to be like, oh, well, wait a minute. Now that they've asked us to take it a little bit easier, maybe I should step back. Like, what in his past would lead you to believe that would work?
Stop.
And
is that it?
Well, no, one more story, and I think this is probably the most important story that we will do in this calendar year. Mm. This takes place right here in our home area in Fairfax County. Officers arrived at 3:30 p.m. at Route 28 and Frying Pan Road.
Route 28 is where the Redskins practice facility is, isn't it?
It's out by Dulles.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go out Route 28. You take that right, and it's all the way off to Ashburn.
This
now.
Is yesterday.
Couple of lane
this,
highway. Yeah. Few
it's
lane
cold.
Highway.
Yes, yesterday.
It's very cold. Cold
very
and windy.
Cold.
This was Tuesday, actually.
Oh, it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Tuesday afternoon.
But it was
afternoon.
Cold.
Tuesday
afternoon.
Fake news.
I know, because
so they get this report after a naked man was reported running in the area. Investigation showed
wait,
that...
Was he jogging? What was he doing?
It was running. It was not jogging. He was running frantically around, and you'll understand as the story develops.
He had been... Okay, well, go ahead. Maybe you'll get it right.
I'm
Let's
sorry.
See.
Would you like to do the news?
Well, he wasn't running around. The guy, he had been in an accident.
Go ahead. Officers arrived at 3:30 after a naked man was reported running in the area.
That's okay. fine. That's
all right,
fair.
There we go. Does that meet your standards, Gary? We all right? An investigation showed that Jose Gonzalez Flores of Sterling was involved in a crash with two vehicles while traveling south on Route 28.
Okay.
Flores then allegedly assaulted one of the drivers involved in the crash before returning to his truck, throwing items onto the road. Police said he then stripped off his clothing and ran into traffic. Whilst on the road, Gonzalez Flores jumped onto a passing truck, broke a window before leaving the scene. He was arrested in a drainage ditch on Dulles Airport property.
Did he have anything in his body that would indicate he was not of his right mind?
Well, I don't think the test results have come back from that, but I would think certainly. But yes, he was two counts of felony hit and run, throwing an object at a moving vehicle.
Hit and run with his car or with his fists?
With his car.
Okay.
With his car. Throwing an object at a moving vehicle, destruction of property, assault and battery, indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, and possession of marijuana. We don't know if it was just marijuana in his blood.
If it was just marijuana, it was laced with something.
I think he should plead only guilty to indecent exposure.
Yeah. And I believe there is a picture, and Gary, you might want to back me up on this, where he's sitting on a truck, naked with a tire around his neck.
Yes,
yeah, that is accurate. I have seen that picture.
He jumped onto the flatbed of a moving truck and began stabbing at the cab of the truck with a knife that he had with him as well.
Well, how else are you going to take the truck down?
It's been a lifetime dream of mine to have this. Chris Saliza was arrested in a drainage ditch naked. That's you've made it when you're in that sentence. Good golly.
Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. We come back, Old Guy Radio, right? Chuck Todd is going to make
good job, pitch. Ultimately,
right.
Nigel.
When we return.
Kick, save, and abuse.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Boland Branch ad. It came over two pages, and Nigel had to condense it into one page. I'm looking at this for the first time. I don't know the copy. I will attempt to read beginning
it's
now.
Very exciting.
You don't need to spend a fortune to get the rest you need. Great sleep starts with the right sheets, and they're more affordable than you think with Boland Branch. The right sheets can take your sleep and your style to the next level. What does that mean? What is the
you're on this level.
Scare me the next
you're
level.
You're on 8.
You go to 9.
These go to 10.
Like kicking it up a notch.
More REM
that
cycle.
That upgrade has never been more affordable. Let me give you the 3 most important words for getting a good night's sleep. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. If you want the best sleep of your life, you need to be comfortable. What makes them unique is each sheet is crafted from 100% organic cotton. That means Boll & Branch sheets not only feel incredible, but they also look amazing. And since Boll & Branch sells exclusively online, you don't pay that expensive retail markup. So it's half the price, twice the quality. You will love these sheets. Try them for 30 days. See for yourself. If you're not impressed, return them for a full refund. Anyone who sleeps on Boll & Branch sheets loves them. That's why they have thousands of 5-star reviews. The New York Times, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal rave about them. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. So Lisa has Boll & Branch sheets.
As do I.
Michael Kornheiser has Boll & Branch
sheets. I do indeed.
They
love them.
Nice.
So that's it. So, I mean, we're personally endorsing. I'd like to get some. I don't have any. I don't know what happened to mine.
You gave me your sheets.
Awkward. This is awkward.
Go to BollandBranch.com today. You'll get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping when you use the promo code Tony. That's $50 off plus free shipping right now at BollandBranch.com. It's spelled B-O-L-L and Branch, B-R-A-N-C-H.com. Promo code Tony. One last time, BollandBranch.com. Promo code Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is I Heard It Through the Grapevine. 47 years ago today, this was number one. In terms of critical commentary, there are 2 versions of this song. The first version was Gladys Knight and the Pips, right?
That's right.
And Marvin Gaye had the second version.
Actually, no, it was the Miracles recorded it, and then it was Marvin Gaye.
Well,
but it didn't matter, because once Marvin Gaye did it, everyone was like, all right, that's the one.
Drops mic. When,
are you guys
stage.
Forgetting the California Raisins version?
Yeah, I think that came later.
Yeah.
What?
Later version.
This version. This is it. There is no other version worth talking about. In fact, I think I have this right, and it might have been 1983 at the All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game in L.A. Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem. I was there. It was a 3-piece band and Marvin Gaye, and they made the national anthem into this beat, and he sang it, and there was no point in watching the game. I mean, that's how good Marvin Gaye was.
If people have not seen that, by the way,
YouTube,
is there
right?
a
go
YouTube.
Video of that?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And it's, how long is it? It was long, right?
Marvin Gaye National Anthem. Hold on, I'm looking
fantastic.
At YouTube.
Absolutely fantastic.
Gotta get through the
written app. By Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong,
the national
who you probably
anthem?
Know wrote Money.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Chuck Todd joins us now. He had a big week. Chuck Todd, 5-2. Now 48-49-2. Tantalizingly close to Mount 500.
To summiting the
mountain. Tantalizingly close. So this is an important week for you, and there's a lot of games. But first, I have been asked to ask you, and I will not prejudice this in any way, if you would like to do a walk-on role in the Nutcracker.
Oh, Lord. I guess what am I supposed to do? This is like the ultimate putting me on the spot.
Yeah, well, I would say right? no if I were you.
Yes, I know.
I just did it, and I had my scene stolen by some punk kid in ballet shoes. So I'm just saying, I'm just mentioning.
Yeah, I will, as long as I get to wear a tutu.
No, you don't.
Do I?
If you want to, it looks somewhat out of place because your role will be as the ambassador. So to wear a tutu.
Oh, ambassador.
Yeah.
Did you dress like Mr. Peanut? Is that how it works?
Yes,
you
have
to
dress he like did.
Mr. Yeah, I wore what they gave me to wear. I opened the show with a long account of how much I hate this kid who stole my scene, but you know that's all. It's just me, just me.
So I heard this is why we're apparently little do people know we're having to do this live. It took so long for you to actually call me to get our time straight.
All right, here we go. You ready?
By the way, no. Let me give you one La Cheeserie update.
Okay,
this is my favorite.
What?
I'm in Mobile, Alabama last weekend covering the end of that Alabama Senate race.
How'd that work out, by the way, for Roy Moore? Not that good, huh?
Yeah, it worked out real well.
Yeah.
This woman comes up to me and she says, La Cheeseria. And I said,
nailed it.
And she goes, my husband told me I should say that. I said, well, it's La Cheeseria. And he was like just mortified that she did. La Cheeseria.
That's wonderful. Fantastic. That's wonderful. All right, we're going to games. I've got 4 games this week in which the spreads are a little bit confounding to me. A little bit. The first one is the Los Angeles Chargers at Kansas City. Kansas City last week played great in a similar circumstance against Oakland. The game was in Kansas City. Kansas City totally dominated. The LA Chargers are -1. I don't really get why the LA Chargers are the favorites in this, and I'm going to ask you to explain this one to me.
I assume they're the favorites simply because, you know, Kansas City has struggled the last five games, and the Chargers have done well, right? But the Chargers have done well against mediocrity, and the Chiefs have struggled against the toughest part of their schedule.
Yes.
I never, right? The Chiefs are one of those teams at home at Arrowhead. When they're getting points, you just bet on them. I don't care who they're playing. I don't care what the circumstance is. I will always take the Chiefs when they're getting points at home.
I tend to agree with that myself. Philadelphia is a 7.5-point favorite at the Giants. I guess some people think that Carson Wentz is still their quarterback.
You want to know something astonishing I read this week?
What?
In their first 25 games, or however many games Wentz has played, I guess that sounds about right, Nick Foles in his first 25 games, threw for more yards, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, and had a better record.
How did he do the year after that?
Well, not so swell.
Right, this is the whole point. Nick Foles is not Carson Wentz. Philadelphia giving 7.5. The Giants stink. And for those people that thought Eli Manning would be the savior last week, they were up against Dallas 10-3 and lost 30-10. Where are you going on this, Chuck?
But they've quit.
Wait a minute. In there, and this was one of the games that I lost, but in there, in that game, it was a game until the fourth quarter.
Okay, but you know, they were outscored 27-0.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
look, the Giants played the Eagles tough when Carson Wentz was their quarterback.
Right.
7.5 seems to me like too much. The Eagles are going to win this, but 7.5, that hook, I'll take the Giants to at least keep it competitive at home. And it's Nick Foles on the road, first start in, 3 years?
Yes.
And it's a road start. You know, all of that says 7.5 is too much to gamble on Foles, so give me the Giants.
Okay, Green Bay buoyed by the return of Aaron Rodgers goes to Carolina. Carolina is sort of the least respected actual contender in all of football this year. Cam Newton may not be throwing the ball well. He made a great run when he had to. That team is better, I believe, than we think. Green Bay, it's a 3-point thing because it's not Brett Hundley, and everyone is expecting miracles from Aaron Rodgers. Who you got in this one?
I'm going to be a fan. I'll admit.
You'll take Rodgers.
I don't trust Carolina anyway.
Okay.
In a game like this, they just won a big game. It would be just like them to blow this. And the Packers have to win. They can't lose. And don't you get the sense that Rodgers will at least get him to the last game of the season?
You would think.
To see if they have a shot against Minnesota to get into the playoffs.
So, hope so. It'll make the season interesting. It's the one of the last
things left.
Yeah, it would.
I think they win. All right. Pack win.
L.A. Rams, who've lost a couple in a row. Is that right? Or one or maybe, I don't know. L.A. Rams are getting 1.5 at Seattle. Seattle loses this game, they're done. So, and Seattle's defense, good, not great. Seattle's offense with Russell Wilson, quite good. Rams, the most surprising team, I think, in the entire year, and they're getting 1.5.
They, by the way, just lost to Philly, beat Arizona prior to that.
Okay, so. All right.
This is the game to stay away from.
Yeah,
with real money. I just because it's Seattle at home, and just because they're in the desperate mode, and this is what they do after they lost last week at Jacksonville, which I think we all saw coming. So it'd be just like them to, you know, win when they have to. This is what this team does. So give me Seattle.
Seattle. Okay. The biggest game of the week is New England at Pittsburgh. New England looked terrible.
You mean it's not the Redskins game?
No, it's not. The Redskins we'll
game.
Get
That's
to
not
that eventually.
The biggest game of the week.
This is the biggest one. New England is. I can't say I understand this. New England is giving 3 on the road to Pittsburgh, which has been nothing but terrific lately.
And on a short week.
Yeah, I just.
By the way, and on a short week.
Don't understand
just
the spread.
Just Belichick and Brady.
I don't understand the spread. I just don't. What do you got?
Well, these are fans. Oh, this is. The Steelers, this is real. I put real money on this one. Steelers getting points at home, like almost against anybody, you would take that. But the Patriots on a short week, back-to-back road games, no less. Yes, this is for home field advantage, right? This is why it's probably the second most important game in the AFC until the AFC title game between Pittsburgh and New England, wherever it's at.
Yes, this will determine that. Yes.
Yeah, this is, yeah. give me the Steelers, though. The more I talk about this game, the more I'm getting scared. Wait a minute. Belichick knows all these things, doesn't he?
Yes. Belichick's right, smarter than you. Smarter than me.
Yeah. So I've heard. But yeah. Steelers, if you bet the pattern of the Steelers, right, they play better against better teams. They're at home. Steelers.
Okay. Dallas, this is another very odd spread to me. Dallas on the road at Oakland. Dallas minus -3. Dallas had one good game, and it was against the Giants.
Oh, they beat the Redskins.
The Redskins aren't any good. Dallas, isn't that an odd thing to you? Dallas minus -3 at Oakland?
And not only that, I just read, do you know that they stayed in New York, I guess, or something? Anyway, they're going, and they played in New York. Now they got to go to Oakland. And Oakland's desperate. They lose this game, they're probably out of the playoff hunt. Although
they might
be able to win that division.
I think they're out.
I'm with you. That's a lot of points for a home dog that is still a playoff contender. Like if you told me Dallas was a 3-point favorite against, Cincinnati,
that's fine.
Yeah, give me Oakland, and boy, do I wish this game were 19. This game would be a lot more interesting in 1978.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So but much of our lives would be more interesting.
It feels like it would have been a really good game when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you had the NFL on NBC anyway.
Arizona is getting 4.5 at Washington in a game that really nobody cares
about. Dozens of people interested.
Nobody
in
cares
it.
About
you
this.
Know, I stubbed Hub this yesterday.
What?
$6
is that
get
right?
you in the building, yes.
I'd still prefer less.
You could sit on the 50-yard line for $40. Lower level.
Is it time to
draft?
And let me just
is it
say
a time to be warm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Chuck. I was just going to say, as a public service, if you want to go and $6 is a little bit rich for your blood, just wait, because next week on Christmas Eve they host Denver and it'll be $4.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
It's just there's nothing with this.
Go support the Redhawks.
Arizona stinks. They do, but so do the Redskins. But this to me seems like the kind of game where Jay Gruden says, I actually could get fired. so I better win this game. I could get fired. What do you got?
I think this is a draft pick game. I think the Redskins need to say, forget it. It's time to start worrying about making sure you get a top 10 draft pick at this point.
You're going to go Arizona? You're going to take it? You're going to take the points?
I'm taking the points. By the way, Arizona's still playing competitively. Arizona's still playing tough. That's not a team that looks like it's throwing in the towel. The Redskins look like a team thinking about throwing in the towel. I think it's already done. I hear what you're saying with Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
It seems a little over to me.
All righty. Well, we wish you luck because you're only one under 500.
This is unbelievable. I'm like a little, this is now actually
mini
exciting.
Heater.
I made my fantasy football Super Bowl this year for the first
congrats.
Time in 30 Good. Years of playing fantasy.
Chuck Todd, you can hear between the words here. Chuck Todd thinking about quitting Meet the Press and going to Vegas.
Becoming a sharp.
Going to Vegas.
Working with Musburger.
I'm going to pull a full Musburger, man. I'm going to pull a full Musburger, retire, and start some crazy gambling show on satellite radio.
Brent's happy. He's happy doing it.
Of course he is.
He's happy.
By the way, if you really want a guilty pleasure, listen to that show every once in a while.
It's
Brent. All of those gambling subtleties that he used to do out the window.
Right, no
it's
subtleties anymore. All right, thank you, Chuck.
No, not anymore.
Thanks, right, Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And as we tell you every week, if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be more than enough. But we give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the bites by two. Sometimes he throws poo, poo, poo. When he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
God, Reginald last week had a rough week. Reginald was 0-3. Reginald, 21-20-1. He's only like a game or two ahead of Chuck Todd at this point.
But he's still over 500.
Yes,
which is not bad for a monkey.
Yes,
not
he
bad.
Is. Not bad for a monkey.
So I went by the National Zoo, and it turned out it was poker night in Reginald's cage.
Uh-huh.
Cavalcade of Stars, George Clooney there.
Yep.
Keith Richards.
No.
Not sure Keith knew exactly what was going on, but he was there. And Anna Kendrick. And when I approached and said it's from the Tony Kornheiser show, she immediately ran.
She ran.
Yes.
She ran.
So that was unfortunate. But we went over these games. He was very excited to get back on the winning track. The first game we gave him was Carolina at home giving 3 to Green Bay. And he just showed me a nice photograph on his iPad of him and Cam Newton parasailing together in Antigua. Mm. So clearly he's got ties to the Panthers, and he will give those 3 points to the Packers.
I'm not sure I wouldn't either. I'm not sure I wouldn't.
A Monkey Carolina. Parasailing is the title of my forthcoming memoir.
Carolina just doesn't see. Maybe it's because they win sort of ugly.
They do.
So they don't get.
They just
do
had a nice win over Minnesota,
yes,
wasn't it last
did.
Week?
Yes, they did.
So, a good team.
Yeah. Now, the next game we gave him was the game I think everyone's really excited for this weekend. New England giving 3 at Pittsburgh. And this was nice. This was a video clip of Reginald with Bob Kraft, Steve Grogan, Teddy Bruschi, and all the Gronkowskis walking through the streets of Boston caroling, which is very, very lovely.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah,
so
very
he's going to take New England.
Oh, yeah, he's going to take New England.
If we had let Chuck Todd talk out loud 30 more seconds, he would have taken around. New England.
Yes. Yeah. And given himself
five,
into it.
Yep. And given 5.
Well, Belichick and Brady. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, the last game we gave him was Washington and him giving 4.5.
A lot of action.
And he just looked at me with a disgusted look, saying, seriously, I have to pick this game. But then he reached into his trunk, and he showed me a series of T-shirts that he had. He said, In Norv we trust, in Shani we trust, in Zorn we trust, in Marta we trust, in Spurrier we trust, and then he pulled out the one that looked very new, and it said, in Gruden we trust.
Like so, the Browns quarterback jersey.
Yeah,
all
so
the
clearly, there. He's got a lot of faith in Gruden. Not sure where it comes from, but he's going to take the Redskins and lay that 4.5.
Terrific. Oh. That's just terrific. So I want to Claire Natola, who gave us all wonderful shortbread cookies last
yes,
week.
Yes, delicious.
That
Thank
did
you.
Not poison anyone to our knowledge
not
yet.
Not one. Right.
Claire has also led a charitable venture on the part of many of the littles who care about this show, and I'm reading this. I'd like to give a special shout-out to the wonderful community of littles spawned by the show, which stinks. I put out word on the Tony Kornheiser Loyal Littles Facebook group and on Twitter to see if anyone would be interested in participating in a group charitable effort the holiday season. The response was fantastic. All told, 30 littles from 14 different states purchased nearly 250 gifts and over $500 in gift cards for families
great.
At the Children's Inn. And she wants me to read all the names, but I'm not. I'm not reading all the names.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you, know
you know
who
you
are.
Are. Right,
you know who you
great
are.
Great job.
But it's very, very nice. There's pictures of all of these things that were gotten. I'm not taking any credit for this other than the fact that people listen to the show and they are like-minded. So I'm very happy about that. We will take a break. When we return, the end of the show, we'll have the email and the jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you.
This is sent to us by William Bennett, who writes, La Cheesery to you and the crew. I'm a loyal little in Somerville, South Carolina, about 20 miles northeast of Charleston on I-26. Attached, you will find a rendition of the mailbag jingle recorded by singers from the Cane Bay High School Choir in Somerville. We'll be traveling to D.C. to perform in the National Cathedral on Sunday, January 21st at 3:30 p.m. We thought you might like to attend our performance. Even though it's not your side of the street, we would be honored by your presence there. If not, just hearing this play on your high-quality pod would make my year. I've been a loyal little since the early 2000s, and the woman to whom I'm related by marriage suggested we record this. Of course, none of my millennial students knew who you were, and when I handed out the music for this, my student assistant conductor looked at it and said, so how much are we getting paid to do this? Nothing, I replied, laughing at the thought. After explaining who you were about Chatter and the DC connection, she said, uh-huh, so you're basically using us to fangirl over this sports guy? Nailed it.
All right, kid.
Thanks for the years of laughs and memories. One of us, that, Michael or I, should and will go to this, if not both of us.
That
we will go.
That was great.
Yeah.
Cane Bay High School, Somerville, South Carolina.
That might be the best cover of my song I have ever heard.
It's great.
We've had Darius Rucker do it as well.
Yes.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thank you to Jason Lockenfour of CBS Sports, the legendary James Carville, Meet the Press host Chuck Todd, for coming on the show today, thanking today's sponsors, Boland Branch, Omaha Steaks, and Indochino. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, leave us a review. That was really great.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Unexpected and great.
Beautiful.
Chris Hill, who hosted the Motley Fool Money radio show, said, "Last Friday, I had the pleasure of sitting in your chair at the Chatter Podcast Studio. Our show is syndicated to more than 40 stations across America, and we finally got the chance to tape a Chatter. He wanted to thank Nigel and Claude, very helpful in making sure everything went smoothly from a technical standpoint. We got to hang out after the show with our listeners, enjoy some of the great food and beverages at Chatter, where we are full service and for profit.
Corner of Wisconsin,
any podcast in the D.C. area looking to connect with their audience, I strongly encourage you to get in touch with Nigel about taping a show at Chatter. We have our own studio, but this was too much fun not to return."
Very cool.
We love having those guys in. It was great. Thank you, Chris.
Kevin Tiernan, Falls Church, Virginia.
You're welcome.
"Dear Dr. Ambassador Tony, my daughter Kathleen is performing in her 9th and final Nutcracker season as a student of the Washington School of Ballet. On Wednesday, she's dancing the role of Clara's girlfriend from the military family in the party scene. I've alerted her that you will be in the role of the ambassador, encouraged her to say hello and get a picture if she can. You should know that it is best not to wish dancers good luck by saying break a leg. Ooh. Instead, one says merde, which I'll refrain from defining here, which I don't know.
That's a French word.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. But I will just say this. She did ask for a picture, and she was very nice.
Yeah,
very
not nice. Not for public consumption. No.
Steve Sunbeck from Arlington, Virginia, and this is a fabulous email. "The Elsinore from Johnny O. The must-have shirt for when you need to brood about your uncle's murder of your father and subsequent marriage to your mom. Available in two sizes, to be or not to be." Michael, sell some Johnny O for
Fantastic
us.
Email. Yes, a Bootsy code will get you 25% off. Tony's wearing his shawl
color today. I'm wearing the shawl
sweater
today.
I think
today.
We just sold
Chris
one to Saliza.
I'm going to buy one.
He liked that's it a confirmed. Lot, so that's good. Todd McElwee, Hagerstown. "Killing time at BWI before a flight. CNN is on mute, and Saliza's very animated about something." Mm-hmm. "I'm assuming it's his defense of Malibu rum. Also, shout out to my brother-in-laws and fellow Littles, Scott and Jeb."
I'm huge
from
in airports.
From Corey Schuster, "If you need to drive more customers to Chatter, why is the only partner with real ideas not at the emergency palm business dinner? Below is a tweet from Maury Povich and exactly the kind of forward-thinking Chatter needs." And he writes, "Samantha in her wedding dress and ready to tie the knot with Rodney, only if he passes Maury's lie detector test. Maury synthesizes family planning, broadcast entertainment, and wedding receptions into one operation while the rest of you debate the benefits of advertising in the Northwest Current versus giving teachers coupons for a free chocolate fountain dessert. Honestly, what are we doing here?" And from Bill Rothenbecker in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, "I heard Michael doesn't work for Johnny O's customer service, and I get that. However, is there a way that he could look into a Macy's order that I've placed online? I've included the order number."
That's nice.
Thank you. From Tim Russell, "I'm an ordinary guy living in Connecticut. Tell Lacey's welcome to stop by. I've got a bottle of Malibu ready. As I left church on Sunday, I happened to glance at the odometer in my Honda Odyssey. Eat it, Subaru. To my amazement, it read 070707. See attached picture. As I grabbed my phone to document this joyous occasion, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage asked what I was doing. She assumed I was looking up directions. I said nothing. I didn't want to ruin the moment. For the next mile, I drove as slowly as possible. Thanks to a traffic light, I got a nearly full 5 minutes of odometer glory. I feel like I have really accomplished something. P.S. My favorite part of the show is when Nigel bursts into laughter slightly off mic after a side comment from Chris or Gary." It's usually Gary bursting into laughter at his own brilliance. "You're out on your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white." Thank you so much to the people in attendance tonight.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
To play us out!
Catch that wind and don't let it in. Lord, I'm trying to do the best I can. Catch that wind and don't let it in. I spent a long time in moonlight with gin, in an old pack of Palmos, in a red soap box. My grandfather said on his deathbed is well, I took a car, took a train, I took a candle, and surprised that he left no will, just an old tin box. Well, I turned the key, I looked inside at the gold and the deed to the ranch. The old man gave me another chance, and he said, catch that wind and don't let it in. Lord, I'm trying to do the best I can. Catch that wind and don't let it in. I spent a long time in moonlight again.
Christmas is the time of year to forget your worries. Christmas is the time of year for Santa's bedtime stories. For Christmas is the season for giving to the sick and poor. So this year, have no fear, because we're here bringing Christmas cheer. Christmas, as much as I do, as much as I.